Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, summer! Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Well, it is. Good evening to you, and now you be at 8:05, 30 seconds to go right along with a Thursday evening on your fan. New York City, Steve Summers here, you there. Peter Hoffman, Antonio Grillo, they're on the other side of the glass in 1-877-337-6666. That'd be the number for another 2 hour schmooze right up until Jody Mack. Jody McDonald at 10 on your fan, New York City, but at 8:06 even. We welcome for a couple of minutes Frank Isola. Frank, hold on for just a second as I give basically all of the things that you do. It's going to take me right up until 10. But Frank, of course, with the YES Network, ESPN's Around the Horn and PTI, Sirius XM, NBA Radio, and that is Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Did I miss out on anything, Frank?
It's 7 to 10 a.m. I get off the air at 10. Nice and early. Morning drive, as they call it in the radio business.
You know, I mean, you're a star now.
No. I know this. I've done your show now twice in a week. Not bad.
Well, listen, here's my first question before we get into a rose by any other name and, of course, World Wide West, and also that Morris is now a member of a Southern California team. Before we get into any of all of that, do you think if Steve Cohen does not buy the Mets, there's a chance he could buy the Knicks?
I think you had to read that release from Jim Dolan.
I did.
Said he was,
yeah.
They're in the process of maybe hiring a president. Then out of nowhere, he just had a line where he said, not selling the Knicks. Came out of like left field.
Right.
So clearly the fans chanting that last week had a lasting impression on the owner of the Knicks. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah, and I guess now Steve Mills just moves down the hall and has to get new business cards. How many titles has Steve Mills
had? Oh, yeah. It's amazing, right?
Yeah.
Nobody gets golden parachutes like the people over at MSG. Good for him. But you know, Steve Mills had been there a long time, and you think about it, really for 17 of the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for him, the 3 years, which includes the 54-win season, that's when he wasn't working for the Knicks. So even when they had like the 3 years of some prosperity, when they made the playoffs three straight years, won the 54 games, won a playoff series.
And
wasn't employed by the team.
Yeah, and that was Grunwald and Woodson.
And what happened to them?
Yeah, well, they were winning a little bit, so let's get rid of them.
Exactly.
Anyway, what do you know, and do you have any association, any contact? I mean, what can you tell us about Leon Rose?
I've known Leon Rose for a very, very long time. I have a very good relationship with him. His first ever client was Rick Brunson, who played at Temple, played for the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Rick was a guy trying to make it into the league. Leon was an agent trying to make it into the league. And Leon eventually landed Eddie Jones as a client, who was a teammate of Rick Brunson's at Temple.
Mm-hmm.
He landed Aaron McKee as a client, who was a teammate of Rick's at Temple. He's a, you know, Leon is a South Jersey Philly guy,
mm-hmm.
and that's basically how Leon got his start. In fact, Leon now represents Rick's son, Jalen Brunson, who I've got to know pretty well over the years. So, you know, Leon has had a very good relationship with the Knicks. He's had a good relationship with Jim Dolan. I mean, I think it probably really started 10 years ago with the Carmelo Anthony trade. You know, Leon had represented Carmelo, and I think
right.
the Knicks now, you know, going in a different direction. There have been teams, we know the Mets have done it. In basketball, the Warriors have done it.
Right.
Phoenix had done it years ago where they hired an agent. Detroit did it with Arn Tellem, Rob Pelinka with the Lakers. So I think the Knicks are thinking, well, some of those teams have had some success. Let's try this with a guy that we're comfortable with, we've worked with before, and has connections to a lot of players.
And again, I know young LeBron James he had, Allen Iverson he had, and he's got a Joel Embiid to name one of a number
Carl
of...
Carl Anthony Towns, he's got him, yes, right. A lot of players.
Well, here's the thing, but being an agent, and you know we've gone through this with the Mets already, with Brody... Bandwagonen, as I refer to him, and again, as long as Leon Rose doesn't bring in Robinson Cano and Edwin Diaz, but the bottom line is, as you know, Frank, this is kind of risky because being an agent for a number of players over the years and being a power agent to boot, that's one thing, but being a basketball executive. And running the basketball operations, that's another. Do you think this is going to work?
Well, you know, the one thing about agents, and I said this before, but I was thinking, I remember saying years ago, a guy like Leon Rose, Andy Miller, who's a local guy, that they would be good, you know, in a front office. And this was really before the whole wave of NBA teams started bringing those guys in. The one thing about the agents is, just from a salary standpoint, they kind of understand, you know, the salary cap. Besides that, they know that, you know, frontwards mm-hmm. and backwards. Mm-hmm. They're pretty good at knowing what players are worth and what the value is and what they can get for players and things of that nature. Obviously, you're going to have to surround yourself with some good people. And I also think a big part of the job, and I think the Knicks in this area have not done well, is hiring a coach. You know, the last coach they hired was David Fizdale, who, you know, it was gone after less than a year and a half in Memphis. You know, Jeff Hornacek, yeah, had some success, but, you know, was he really going to work in New York? And Phil Jackson had him running the triangle offense. So I think that's going to be a big part of Leon Rowe, you know, assuming it's going to be Leon. And the interesting thing about Leon is that he does have a good relationship with a lot of names that Knick fans are going to know. Now, John Calipari is one of them at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. The other guys would be Mark Jackson. He's close with Jeff Van Gundy, and he's very close with Tom Thibodeau. So does that mean that they're hiring one of those four guys? I don't know about that, but I would have to believe that Leon would give them strong consideration because Leon Rose has used them before as a confidant and, you know, people to lean on. So something would tell me that they would certainly be involved. Again, doesn't mean that one of those four is getting the job, mm-hmm. but there's also a chance that one of those four could get the job.
Dolan going to give him the autonomy he would want?
Yeah, we don't know that. I mean, you always hear that. And then, you know, a big thing with when Phil Jackson joined the team and got hired was, you know, the whole full autonomy thing. And then Phil Jackson has a guy who's a trainer, a physio, who worked with him with the Lakers, and his name is Alex McKechnie, mm-hmm. who has been with the Toronto Raptors for a number of years, and Phil wanted to bring him in. But Phil first wanted to make changes to the Knicks medical staff, and Jim Dolan said, no. The medical staff works for me. You worry about the basketball operation. So right away, you know, basically a month into it, there was already a bit of a disagreement over what Phil Jackson was going to be allowed to do. Now, I think Leon comes in there with a, you know, having spent a ton of time. You know, he was at a lot of Knick games when Carmelo played for the team. So he was always, you know, with the Knicks in some capacity. So I think he has a better lay of the land coming in than Phil Jackson probably had. So I think that'll help. But whether or not he's going to have full autonomy, I don't think that exists. I really don't think it exists. Mm-hmm.
All right, now what about World Wide Wes? Who is he and what does he do and what has he done and what is he going to do for the New York Knickerbockers? We don't know what kind of position he's going to have.
Yeah, the mysterious World Wide Wes. World Wide Wes and Leon go way back. They go back to their days in high school together. I think they played basketball together. So Wes is kind of like a Camden, New Jersey, you know, South Philadelphia guy with a lot of connection with players. He was in with LeBron. He has a very good relationship with John Calipari. I always just say this about Wes. You know, if you go back to like the 90s and even the 80s when like Miami was winning the national championship in football, Wes was there on the sideline. Then when the Cowboys, like as they're beginning to celebrate the final seconds of their Super Bowl wins with Jimmy Johnson as a coach, mm-hmm. Wes was on the sideline. Mm-hmm. He was just one of these guys that was everywhere. I remember going down in 2000. Dave Checkers was out as Knick president. And Allen Houston was going to be a free agent. And I heard that Jim Dolan was going to be in Louisville attending Allen Houston's charity golf tournament. I went down there. I had a little sit-down with Jim Dolan. And then after the event, I was just sitting at a table at Kenny Smith. I don't mean to name drop. I'm just kind of trying to give you an idea of what was going on. Mm-hmm. Kenny Smith was there, and sitting at the table was World Wide West. And he was telling stories and stories and stories. And finally just looked at me and said, by the way, this is all off the record. He kind of likes maintaining a bit of this like mysterious, persona. He really likes that. But anytime that I've dealt with him, his name is William Wesley, mm-hmm. but everybody calls him World Wide West. I think it's just because back in the day he used to be everywhere. But he's actually a really nice guy who would mostly segued into representing coaches in recent years. So mm-hmm. Whether or not, he still has connections with players. But he's certainly a mover and shaker. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Should a Knickerbocker fan with Rose and Wesley at this point, and not really knowing, of course, anything about them with what they might be able to do with the Knickerbockers, should a Knickerbocker fan feel good about these two hires?
I would be encouraged by it, and I'll be really encouraged by it if they hire the right coach, because I think with the right coach there, I think they'll lean on that coach, and I think they'll work together to try to make, the Knicks become a better team. Whether that's Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson, Tom mm-hmm. Thibodeau, I think I would be encouraged by that because I think Leon is a very smart guy, but he's also a guy that doesn't walk around and thinks he's got everything figured out. He's willing to listen to people. He's very private. The one thing about Leon, and Jim Dolan's probably going to like it, Leon very rarely speaks. If you notice, you don't really see any like old interviews with him. He was very difficult to kind of track down. Mm-hmm. Even though I knew him really well, he would really want to be quoted. He wasn't really one of these guys that gave you much information. So from that standpoint, he seems to fit like anything that the Knicks tell him about dealing with the media. Not that he's not going to be cordial. I'm not saying that. But Leon is a very private guy that plays everything very close to the vest. But he's got a lot of people in the NBA that he's friends with and a lot of people that are very loyal to him. So he's, like I said, he's well-connected. But I think if Knicks fans want to be really encouraged, let's see where they hire his coach because that's going to be a big part of it.
All right. And again, as you alluded to, Dolan saying today he's not going to sell the team. Can these two new hires sell a free agent, a star, to come to New York?
Yeah, I think it's going to take some time. I think, you have to show some progress. And one thing about Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, I didn't think that the Knicks should have gone after Durant once he blew out his Achilles. I thought the Knicks were in a position where, that ship had kind of sailed with him. They weren't in a position to kind of wait the 1 year. I think for the Knicks, the big thing is, you have to start from the ground up, and you got to do a little bit better job drafting players. You got to do a better job developing players. The one thing that I think appealed to Kyrie Irving was Kyrie wanted to come back to New York. He wanted to play in the New York area, but I think he looked at both organizations, and I think he just felt that the Nets, with what they had done the past couple of years, looked like they were trending upward as opposed to the Knicks. So that's part of it. I think the free agents, the one thing about taking that leap into the Madison Square Garden pool is that you come there, no matter who you are, let's face it, Steve, you're going to be looked as the savior. There's going to be a lot of pressure on you when you show up here. Not every player is going to be able to deal with that. And that doesn't mean you have to be from New York. It could be from wherever you are. Carmelo Anthony obviously can handle the pressure of that. Patrick Ewing, for all those years, was able to handle the pressure of that. But that's going to be a big part of it. Any player that comes here knows that he's going to be looked at as the savior. So if he's going to come here, he wants to make sure there are the right pieces are here, that the right coach is here, and that they have the right structure in place and not look like a dysfunctional organization. Because let's face it, for too long, the Knicks, and this is, the Knicks fans can deny it all they want. Mm-hmm. But go talk to other people around the league. Go talk to players. The Knicks just look as a dysfunctional organization, and a lot of players don't want to take that quantum leap and say, yeah, the money's great. I'd love to live in New York, but is this really going to be good for my resume? It'll be good for my bank account, but will it be good for my basketball resume?
Yeah. Of course, before the 3 p.m. trading deadline, we're talking with Frank Isola, of course, with the YES Network, ESPN's Round the Horn and PTI, Sirius XM with the NBA Radio. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 a.m.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. I gave the end time. I didn't say when you were starting, but
really, I think the show doesn't start getting good till about 8:30. I'm on for 7. I should have said 8:30 to 10.
Yeah, you're warmed up by then.
Exactly.
And you're
by about 8:30.
You've had your bagel. You've had some breakfast. You're awake.
I'm in a good rhythm. For about 20 minutes. Tune in between 8:30 and 8:50 to get some good radio.
Well, before the 3 p.m. Trading deadline today, there were rumors about Kuzma and D'Angelo Russell. I know the Lakers held on to Kuzma. D'Angelo Russell, of course, going to Minnesota. And we were also hearing, before we heard the news that Morris was going to the Clippers, that both the Lakers and the Clippers were interested in Morris. Did Mills, I guess it was Mills who was still running, or not Mills, but Perry. Did Perry play one against the other to get the most he could get for Morris?
I'm sure that he did, because I think a big factor in this whole thing was that the Lakers wanted Andre Iguodala. And the way the Lakers were thinking was that Andre Iguodala is not going to get traded, and then he's going to get bought out, and we'll get him. Andre Iguodala is off the board. He gets traded to the Miami Heat. So now the Lakers are kind of scrambling a little bit, and they were involved with Marcus Morris. I think the Clippers always kind of had the inside track. Matching up the salaries was a little bit different. So I think the Knicks did the smart thing here. And, you know, for Marcus Morris, it's a good move for him, and it's a good move for the Knicks. Wherever they go with Marcus Morris, he was, you know, the Knicks are at a place right now where he's your best player. And that's not a knock on Marcus Morris. He's certainly a good player. But if he's going to be your best player, your record is going to be what your record currently is. And that's why I thought they did the right thing. And getting the Lakers involved was smart, because the Lakers wanted Marcus Morris. Now they're probably going to end up seeing him in a playoff series, because I think the Clippers and the Lakers will eventually see each other.
And the Knicks have a number one. And so now they have four over the next 7 years, I believe.
Yeah, and you know how that works. You look at, like, a lot of these teams. Oklahoma City has collected a lot of picks over the years. Same thing with Oklahoma City. Those become very those are important assets. And it's not just about using those picks. It's about maybe trading a player and a couple of those picks to get an all-star caliber player. So that's always a good thing to have. But again, it's always, you know, Jeff Van Gundy has a great line. He says the most important job is basketball. In basketball, is picking the players. And to be fair, the Knicks have not done a great job at that. You know, a few years ago, they drafted Klay Anthony early when Nikola Jokic was still on the board. They could have had Donovan Mitchell when they drafted Frank Ntilikina, or maybe it was Kevin Knox, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So picking the players is so important, which goes back to, once again, Leon Rose and whatever staff he kind of puts together. You have to be better at picking the players. Look at Masai Ujiri up in Toronto. He drafted Pascal Siakam 27. Pascal Siakam is an all-star. Mm-hmm. He went and got Fred VanVleet undrafted. Fred VanVleet was a huge part of their championship team. And just last week, they had somebody named Terrence Davis, who I'd never even heard of. He was undrafted, and he scored 31 points for them. So Masai Ujiri has done a very good job picking the players, and a lot. You know, that's a big, big part of it. The Warriors, one of the reasons why they became the Warriors, everyone thought that Steph Curry could become a good player. Nobody really knew that much about Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green was a second-round pick. You know, you've got to be lucky and good at it. Masai's been good at it. The Warriors have been good at it. Sam Presti in Oklahoma City has been good at it. That's really where it starts.
Yeah, and about the only place, I guess, because you touched on this earlier with the Warriors with a former agent and the Lakers with a former agent, it didn't work out very well in Phoenix with a former agent.
No, Lon Babby, it did not. And also, you know, I think Rob Pelinka has actually done a pretty good job. And last year when Magic Johnson left and then basically went on ESPN and destroyed Rob Pelinka, Rob Pelinka laid low. And it was because Rob Pelinka was not going to win like a public feud with Magic Johnson. So he took some slings and arrows. I actually think he's done a good job. But again, that all starts with LeBron going to L.A. LeBron was going to go to L.A., I think, regardless who the GM was. And I think Bob Myers is one of the best in the business. But Steph Curry and Klay Thompson were already in Golden State when Bob Myers showed up there.
Yeah.
So, yes, he's done a very good job kind of keeping it together, building the right culture. I like the move that they made getting Andrew Wiggins today. So there is no perfect way. There is no, is it an ex-player? Is it a guy like Donnie Walsh who didn't play in the NBA? Could it be a a player agent. You just never know. Sometimes it's going to work. Other times it's not going to work.
And a change. I mean, we have seen this 3 years ago with the Lakers involving Johnson and Mitch Kupchak. So what Dolan did by getting rid of General Mills and hiring with the, well, I don't think they're hired yet, correct? I mean, it's...
No, they're not.
Yeah, very unofficial. But look, at right up against the trading deadline, you have a change in the front office, but we saw that 3 years ago with the Lakers.
Yeah, and I think that's why Jim Dolan, in that statement, says, not selling the team. It's almost like he's telling the fans, please do not go to the game tonight to chance sell the team because I'm not doing it. So that's part of the reason why they made these changes. And I, like I said, I think that Steve Mills was probably going to be gone by the end of the season. I think the Knicks, even with all the losing, mm-hmm. I think that they kind of looked at it like, well, at least we're kind of floating under the radar. Then last week, they didn't float under the radar. That was that incident at the end of the game between Jay Crowder and Alfred Payton. Marcus Morris got involved. Marcus Morris said that stuff after the game about Jay Crowder has female tendencies.
Right, right.
That was a small part of it. The biggest part of it was that same game, the crowd, more than just one kid saying it, there were hundreds of people chanting, sell the team. And I said it when I heard it at the time. I said, the Knicks are going to do something. I thought for sure it would be a trade. I didn't think that they would make this move for Steve Mills, but I did think they would do something, and Jim Dolan did.
Oh, yeah, and I understand that the kid that got kicked out, his mother, Dolan talked with his mother and kind of like tried to smooth things over.
Her,
the mother like a 20-year season ticket holder.
Well, what's the woman's name?
What is this?
What's the woman's name, the mom's name?
Well, one kid with the sell the team, the chanting that you're alluding to, that we've been talking about.
Well, no, but in the paper, they quoted her. They said it was an anonymous. They said she wanted to remain anonymous.
Oh, yeah. I don't know the name.
Well, that's my point. If she, there's something a little fishy.
Oh, I see. Let me ask
you a question.
Sure.
If she had called the guy a creep, you think they're running that anonymously?
No.
There's something a little shady about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I don't blame you. For being as suspicious, we all have been trained.
Did you see the picture in the paper?
What is that?
In the paper? Did you see the picture in the paper when Jim Dolan?
Yes.
Yelling at the security guard.
Yes.
It was like the word she used was pleasant and respectful. Isn't that picture? Did that come to your mind? Well, those are two words that. What do they say? Pictures worth a thousand words. Were the first two words from Steve Summers?
Listening to you, it almost sounds as if. You know, for the sake of conversation here, just listening to you, it almost sounds like you might have something personal against him.
No, I know. No, about the owner?
Yes.
Not at all. I could care less. They could go 0-82, 82-0. That's fine with me. I think it's important in this town, and I don't think it's been done enough with the Knicks to call out the owner. I think the owners of the Mets get called out. I think the owner of the Jets get called out. The Giants have had success. The Yankees have had a lot of success. I think there's a lot of people that don't call out the owner because I think they're afraid of the retribution, which could take place.
I think
for the most part, he kind of gets... I would say this.
Yeah.
Look around. How many times... You show me the columns that are in some of the papers where he's getting criticized. I don't really think he gets criticized that much. I mean, this has been going on 20 years now. It's not like where they've just coming off of like 10 successful seasons. They've had a down year, and you're like, well, you guys in the media are being a little rough piling on here. They have them in Minnesota. The Knicks in Minnesota have the worst record in the NBA the last 20 years.
Yeah.
If the media is not calling out ownership and the fans are not upset, then there's a problem.
You would write what you wrote, which was honest and true. And he didn't like you, and what? He had some of his KGB guys follow you around?
Yeah, that was actually pretty funny. That was a while ago.
Sure.
I got to be honest with you. Anytime that I've dealt with him, he's always been really good to me. Now, behind the scenes, I'm sure he was probably hoping someone would push me up the top of Madison Square Garden. But whenever I dealt with him face-to-face, he was always good. I get it. He does not like being in the paper. He doesn't like, if you're going to write about his band, he's going to get really upset if it's a negative review. And he doesn't like it when he's on the back page and there's a picture of him that's unflattering and people are writing bad things about him, or, you know, I should say not bad things, but being critical of him. And I think, you know, he kind of comes with the territory. and look at the record. All, you know, the one thing about covering sports, I say this all the time, and the Knicks do this, and I understand why they do it. The Knicks win every summer. Every July is great. The summer league team is great. This guy looks great. We're working out. He's working out. Everyone's going to be in the greatest shape. We're all going to come in. That's all fine. I get it. But remember, the great thing about sports is they keep score. And then after the game, they record that result in something called the standings. It's a win and a loss. So it doesn't matter what anyone says. Just go by the standings. And you tell me what the win-loss record has been the last 20 years. That's all you can go by. That's all that matters.
I'm surprised that that Mills and Perry didn't get extensions. Do you think he'll ever sell?
Well, eventually he will. I think eventually he'll get tired, but I think he likes the cachet of owning the Knicks. I think he likes sitting near the bench. You know, he entertains friends and family members there. You know, it's like, you know, a lot of the owners are like that. They like the cachet of owning a team. Do I think he is a basketball junkie? No, I don't think that. I think over the years he's probably grown to like the game a lot. I think he enjoys going to the games. I'm sure it frustrates him because there probably comes a point where he's thinking, I'm spending a ton of money on player salaries, on coaches, executives, and we can't get wins. And I think that probably upsets him and sets him off sometimes, like it did against that game against Cleveland when he told Steve Mills to go talk to the media after the game and apologize for the product we're putting out there off the court.
Do you think if Dolan owned the Mets, they'd be winners?
Well, there is no salary cap, so that could be part of it. You know, the Rangers have done pretty well, but for whatever reason, you know, sometimes I think he gets probably a little too involved with the Knicks and things go in the wrong direction. Sure. And you know what? We know how it works in New York. The Yankees have had a lot of success. The Giants, yes, they've had some down years, but, you know, for the most part, really, you know, they've given the city, what, 4 Super Bowls. It's really the Jets, the Mets, and the Knicks. And let's face it, there's a lot of people that we know that grew up fans of those three teams. So it's been a little rough. And as I said before, you'll like this, Steve, Leon Rose was a huge Joe Namath fan growing up. So Leon Rose's favorite team is the New York Jets.
Wow. Okay, listen, I mean, and you know, with all the owners, with all these teams, they are sons of entitlement.
Well, and that's, you know what, and that's true of probably Clark Hunt, the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, is too, but it's all about what you make of it. It's, I think what goes on with the Mets is a shame. I think a lot of times they kind of operate as a bit of a small market team, and, you know, the other team in town flexes its muscle, and every time you turn around, they don't always win, but they always seem to be in contention. Then you got the one team. But the Mets have a great fan base. I always say this about the Mets fan. They tell ownership, if you're not going to put a good team on the field, we're not going to go.
Yeah.
And then when they put a good team on the field, they show up. And I think the Jet fan is the same way. For the Garden, it's a little bit different. You got a lot of tourists that go to games. You know, I think there's a lot of Knicks fans that are frustrated, but there's 41 dates, and I think a lot of people almost look at it like a Broadway show sometimes. So the Jet fan and the Mets fan is a little bit different when it comes to how they kind of protest. So their silent protest with their money and not attending games.
Yeah. Frank Isola, a million thanks. Again.
I'm exhausted. I'm not going to be able to do radio. I'm going to come on at 9 o'clock from 9 to 10, not 7 to 10.
Exactly. Well, we'll be listening, that's for sure, as we have in the past. Take care of yourself, Frank. And
all right,
thanks,
Steve, you too.
Very much.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Bye.
Frank Isola. All right, we'll take a break, and then we'll get right back to your telephone calls. Of course, the Knickerbockers and the Metropolitans. There's deep throats all over the place. I think Stevie Cohen has a deep throat. I think the Mets. Jeff Wilpon, I think he could be a deep throat.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.